The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Talking this morning about the power to get wealth. Amen. I believe it's important in the body of Christ that we recognize that God has given us the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." He swore to the Hebrews, and he swears to us that he still has given us the power to get wealth. Now, that the Hebrew word there, power, means strength, power, might. So basically what God is saying to us is that he has delegated to us the power to get wealth. Now, when we look at wealth, it doesn't just mean riches or money. The word means strength, efficiency, enough. I believe we could probably translate that word success, prosperity. That we can recognize that God has given us the power not only just to get wealth in terms of finances. He has given us power to be successful in whatever endeavor that he has called us to. In our life, in our marriages, in our families, in our relationship, in our church, in our work. Whatever we put our hands to, God has given each and every one of us the power to get wealth. You know, when I start thinking about success, we think of in terms of people who are extremely successful, I guess, or somebody who has risen to the highest level of achievement in their particular field or job. But success is so much more than that. That can be a part of success in our life if that's what God has called us to. But I want you to think about this. Jesus was the most successful person ever to live on the face of the earth. He didn't travel more than probably 20 miles from his birthplace. He didn't have a home. He died with all the possessions that he had. Actually, they were taken from him, his clothing. He had a ministry fund, which Judas was stealing from and meeting his own needs out of. But they did minister to people. But Jesus' focus was never money. And yet he was very successful. Because when it came time to pay taxes, he told Peter, go fishing and catch a fish. What? You want me to catch a fish and they're demanding taxes from us? Just do what I tell you. Caught a fish, opened his mouth, and there was sufficiency to pay the taxes. That's success. Man, there's nothing more successful than to be able to have every need met when the need arises. Amen. Amen? That's what Jesus was all about. And he became so successful that he spread out his arms, hung on a cross, and died for us. That was the ultimate success for Jesus. So that we could be and not have that same kind of punishment. So that we could be successful in whatever we do and wherever we go. So that we could be the kind of example that the world needs. So that we could be ambassadors for Christ, to be a part of his church. You see, I think it's very important that we recognize that we have a high calling according to the calling of Jesus Christ and what Christ did for us. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the importance of the power to get wealth, but we're going to focus on, we're going to focus on personality and characteristics and the things that are important to us from a human standpoint as being an example for Jesus Christ. You know, Solomon was one of the wisest men, or the wisest man, to ever walk on the face of the earth other than Jesus Christ. And he said, wisdom is the principal thing. He said, get wisdom. He said, wisdom is better than fine gold, and understanding is better than silver. Knowledge, many times they associated knowledge and understanding in the same vein. It's better than riches. So wisdom, we get that from God, but we also get wisdom from knowledge and understanding the Word of God. So as we begin this study this morning, I want you to understand that these principles that I'm going to be talking about, we're going to get around to the financial principles and talk about that. But these things that I'm talking about this morning are just as important or more important than the financial component of it, because they set the stage for God to be able to bless us when we do what He tells us to do financially. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to be talking about is morals. A moral standard. It's extremely important that we have a moral standard. How many agree with that? We need a moral standard. Our nation needs a high moral standard to live by. Without it, we're falling apart. Our original moral standard was biblical standards, and particularly the Ten Commandments. If you're going to pursue the kind of success that God wants us to have, it is absolutely imperative that we have biblical moral standards. That's my perspective on it. I believe that's a godly perspective. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 21, you will find the Ten Commandments. Now, you don't have to turn there this morning. I'm just giving you that reference. Write it down so you can go read them for yourself. But they're listed a little different in both of those texts. And there's about three different listings of the Ten Commandments that we see on plaques or in pamphlets or that's published. The first one comes from Judaism, and it's it comes right out of the Hebrew Scriptures. The second one was published by Origen, a biblical scholar that lived in about 200, 220 A.D. And the last one was put together by Augustine, who lived about 400 A.D., but these are the three that they all complement one another. They're basically the same thing. But as you read in Exodus and Deuteronomy, you have to kind of go through there and pick this out so that you understand exactly what God is saying about these commandments. But these things are so important to us as believers in Jesus Christ that we put our complete, total faith in this moral standard. Otherwise, we will completely get off track. And I'm telling you, the Church of Jesus Christ is getting off track today because we're not following this moral standard. Amen. This moral standard is being taken away from us. We're not teaching our children the standard any longer. Moral relativism is the basic teaching throughout our educational system and our society, where anything goes, as long as you feel good and you're not particularly hurting somebody else, it's okay. It's not okay. What you must understand is you may not be hurting anyone else except God. God is offended when we break His commandments. God is offended when we do wrong. There is such a thing called sin, and sin will separate you from God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of that blood and the grace of God, we're saved. Amen. Totally by the faith in Jesus Christ. And there's no condemnation in Jesus. None at all. I'm not telling you that God's condemning you this morning. I'm telling you that God expects His people to hold a high standard so that the world can look at us and say there's something different about those people. We will make mistakes. We will fall down. We've all through the centuries, we've seen believers, pastors, evangelists, all make huge mistakes. Did God reject them? I don't believe so. I want you to think about David, who was a man after God's own heart, and yet one day he saw Bathsheba bathing and desired her and called her to his palace and had an adulterous affair with her. And he tried to cover it up by putting a contract out on her husband. And he was murdered. At the hand of David, because he had his men put him in the front and draw back. Let him die. David tried to cover it up. We try to cover up our sins sometimes, don't we? Come on. I try to cover up my sins. No matter how hard I try, God exposes them. You know why? Because He loves me enough that He doesn't want me to hide behind those sins, away from those sins. But you know, when David cried out, Nathan came to him and said, "You have done wrong, repent." And David repented, and God restored him. I want you to know God can restore you no matter what has happened in your life. God is a restorer. He's a repairer of the breach. He loves you. And He wants to set you right, no matter what. All we have to do when we do wrong is turn back. Don't turn away. Turn back. God is appealing to you this morning. Turn to Him. This moral standard is extremely important. Those first four commandments are how we're supposed to relate to God. The last six are how we relate to people. That's why that standard is so important. Because it's God's way for us to relate to Him. It's God's way for us to relate to one another. The law of God is powerful, and it will change your life. You know, one of the things that I believe God wants, you know, that as I was reading this and doing some study, I recognize in Deuteronomy 8, I believe it's verse 11. I don't have that scripture posted for you. But one of the things that God told the Hebrews was that if they would do what He told them to do, follow His standards and His moral compass, that He would bless them and He would drive out all the ites out of their land, out of the land. The Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, all those ites. And you know something? We have a lot of ites in our nation right now. If we can get back to a proper moral standard, we have a moral code for this nation, I believe God will drive out the ites out of this nation. Amen? God wants to drive the ites out of our life, out of our families, out of our nation. You know, our nation was founded on some very strong biblical principles. And no matter what you think of the founding fathers, they did believe in God. Not all of them would be what we would call born-again Christians. You need to understand that. And I'm not trying to confess that they were, but a large part of them definitely was. The other ones were either theists or deists. Now, a theist believes that God made and governs all the affairs and creation, and He governs man's affairs. But he doesn't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity or the inspiration and the power of God. A deist believes that God created all things and then just stepped back and let it all happen. I don't know if who's familiar with that song, I don't know, in the 80s maybe, God's Watching from a Distance. That's kind of the deist mentality. That God just created it, and then he stepped back, and he's just letting man go on, do his thing. However, the theists and the deists in that time of our founding fathers, they all agreed upon one thing, and that was that a moral standard, a Christian moral standard, was very important to the survival of our nation. Let me share with you what John Adams said. John Adams was the signer of the Declaration. He also signed a Bill of Rights, and he was our second president. This is what he said. In a speech to the military in 1798, he warned his fellow countrymen, stating, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passion unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." John Adams would have been considered a theist in his belief system. Thomas Jefferson, who would have been considered a deist, said this: "Morality in a free society produces a system of duties and obligations that are as binding on the whole nation as they are on individuals, and that enable a social life together that is conducive to the best interests of each one and all." Remember, he was also the one that wrote the Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence. "We hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights." They believed. They may not have all the exact same standards of belief, but they were believers. They believed that in order for this nation to continue to be free, to have the liberty that we had to have a Christian moral standard. There's none better than the Ten Commandments and the Word of God. Second thing we want to talk about this morning is not only each and every one of us have to have a moral standard to live by, and I can encourage you that it is the Word of God, is that we need to be people of character. Not characters that are people, but people of character. Character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13 says this: "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." Let's focus on that. For your good. This is what this is all about. Keeping the Lord's commandments, having the proper character, is for your good. Not for someone else's good, not for God's good, it's for your good. God has established these things. He gave us a moral compass. He gave us the ability to have and walk in proper character because of he wants it to be for our good, for our families, for our church. Your character is shaped by what you put in your mind. What are you filling yourself with? Are you filling yourself with the Word of God? Or are you filling yourself with the things of the world? I want you to be able to live according to the principles of God. When you have and believe in a moral code based on the Bible, it'll be evident to other people. Wherever you go, whatever you do, they'll see it. Daniel rose to a position of power and influence in the Babylonian Empire because he He had a belief system. He had a moral code that he walked by. And the king could see that moral code in his character. God wants to see it in our character. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will have. Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success." What's the stand? What causes us to be prosperous and have good success? Walking according to the will of God in the book of the law. Now, we don't live according to the Old Testament laws. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two things. Love fulfills the commandments. When we walk in love toward our God, when we truly love our God, and we recognize that He has principles that He wants us to live by and walk in. So first of all, we have a moral standard. Second, we live it out in such a way that people see it in our character. And the third thing I want to share with you this morning, real quick, is integrity. Because integrity is a little different than character. Integrity is firm adherence to a code, especially moral or artistic values. A person with a biblical moral code will have their character defined by that code, and they will live with integrity even when no one is looking. And regardless of the consequences. This is important. Because as I'm talking about being successful, the power to get wealth, we must realize that sometimes being successful in the kingdom of God is not the same standards that the world sets for success. It can sometimes look like failure to the world. Jesus hanging on the cross looked like failure. To the world, the disciples sacrificing everything and dying for their faith in Jesus Christ looked like failure. But it was ultimate success. It was incredible. We can't set our standards by the world's principles. It must be by God's. Integrity is doing right no matter what. Integrity is having a moral code, allowing it to shape your character, and walking in it no matter what. A few years ago, a judge by the name of Roy Moore was a Supreme Court judge in Alabama. And he fought back and forth with the government wanting to remove, the federal government wanting to remove the Ten Commandments that was placed out front of the courthouse. Well, Roy Moore fought back and forth with that for a long time, and finally, because of his position, that he believed that those commandments were not against the Constitution of the United States, because it did not give credence to a particular religion. It gave a moral direction and basis for a nation. But based on his belief system, he was dismissed from being a Supreme Court judge. He lost his position. In 2000, and the monument was removed. In 2013, the people of Alabama reelected him put him back on the bench. But not long after his re-election, there was another controversy, and it hasn't been very long ago. This was the one concerning same-sex marriage. Alabama had a law that, you know, there was no such thing as same-sex marriage. And he took a stand on it. And once again, because he was willing to take a stand, he eventually, at this time, he stepped down from his position because he couldn't, with a clear conscience, follow the law. Now he's running for Senate, I believe. That's what he is doing. Now, I tell you this, whether you agree or disagree with Roy Moore, that's not my point here. My point is, this man had a moral code. It shaped his character. And because of the integrity, you know, the integrity that he had inside of him, regardless of the consequences, he took a stand. Are we willing to do that? That's real success in the kingdom. I'm going to tell you, if he took the proper stand, which I believe he did, if he took the proper stand, he's going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Had he not, I don't know what he would have said. We must take a stand for what is right. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." God's promised us. He will bless us. He has given us the power to get wealth. And in most cases, I believe that power to be successful, that he said in Joshua, that if we take the book of the law and we live by it, that we will be prosperous in the things that we do. In most cases, that's going to be the outcome. It's going to look like the same kind of success that the world thinks is successful, but not in every case. So what I'm trying to convey to you this morning is, no matter what, we must be faithful to the Lord. I must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I must preach the truth of the Word of God. No matter what it costs me. And it could in the future. It could cost me everything. I know that. I accept that. But it's going to be glorious on that day when I stand before the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to encourage us this morning. God's on the throne. Amen. He's working. He wants you to be successful in everything that you do, whatever you put your hands to. He wants your families to be successful. He wants your relationships with other people to be successful. He wants you to be successful on the job, wherever you go. Do the right thing. Have a strong moral code. Walk with that character inside of you. But above all else, make sure that you are a person of integrity that does the right thing no matter what. There's something that's been instilled within me from my family, instilled within my wife, from her family. And that is that you always do a good job, no matter what. Doesn't matter when I'm cleaning out the chicken pen. I hate cleaning out the chicken pen. But there's something inside of me that says you've got to do the very best job you can do when you clean out that chicken pen. No chicken poop left behind. You know why I hate it, but it's just part of it. But this is part of what I'm talking about with our integrity. The moral code's strong. It's got to be powerful. It's got to shape our character. But our integrity to walk through it and walk it out every day is so, so important. Stand with me. I ask you to bow your head, please. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask it. Is there anyone in here that's in a situation, maybe at work or I don't know, family, situation where you know your moral compass is being twisted a little bit. You know, people know your character, but you're being tempted to just veer a little bit from that godly moral character and not hold fast to your own integrity. And I'm not condemning you this morning. We're all tempted in those areas sometime, and it's very difficult. And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I've passed the test. Sometimes I haven't. But there's just power and there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how many times we fall down, the Lord Jesus is ready to pick us back up. So if you're in that place this morning, I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand. I'm just going to pray. Father God, we just ask you to touch your people this morning. We all miss the mark sometimes, but you're such an awesome and mighty God. Lord, you love us. You love your people. And as we pour our hearts to you this morning, Lord, maybe there's some in here who is just not being able to take that stand or do the right thing. Thank you for forgiving them. Thank you for encouraging them. And most important, Father God, I thank you that you are touching them this morning through this message, that the next time, Lord, that they're tested, they will take the proper stand, regardless of the consequences, regardless of how difficult it is for them personally, financially, emotionally. Lord, they'll hear your voice. They'll recall some of the words I've spoken this morning, Lord. And they'll know that your moral compass, the morality that you have given your people to walk in, your word, that it shapes our character. And you expect us to have the integrity to walk in it. Thank you, Lord, that you're touching your people this morning. Stir their hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. If there's anyone who would like to have prayer for healing, please come up. Ask our prayer warriors to come and pray.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.